move back to John?
Yeah, I think we better just start there. Well, the main thing here is to point out that this scripture that we hold here is Yahweh breathed, but it is His word. And just because it's not in red doesn't mean it's not His word. He spoke face to face with Moses. He took it down, and He's given us the scriptures. So Yochanan, in the Brit Kadashah, the New Testament, it tells us who Messiah is in that very first verse or two. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. The same was in the beginning with Yahweh. So when we read these scriptures from cover to cover, we are reading all about the Father and the Son. So let's also go to the next one here in the book of John. John chapter 10, 38. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father, Messiah says, believe not me, but believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Next to chapter 14, verse 6, often quoted, and it's still just as true as it was then. 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And verse 9, Messiah said unto him, have I been so long? And Philip asked the question, Master, show us the Father, and it suffices. And Messiah said unto him in verse 9, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? We can see the Father in and through the Son. Verse 12. 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Comforter, one of the manifestations of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. So with that, we'll go to John chapter 3 now. And I discovered the Greek interpretation of some word here in some version has been far from the real interpretation of the Greek word in John 3:16. So let's start out in verse 15 in John 3, that whosoever John chapter 3 verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And here, the expression should not is from a Greek word spelled M-A-E, or pronounced may. So we could even translate that directly into English here, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but have eternal life. This is opposed to some of these scripture versions that have the definitive will not perish. But the Greek, and the original Greek says that, in the underlying Greek, that is, says that it may not perish or should not perish. And then, continuing in 16 through the end of the chapter, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him may not perish or should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And we trace the name of the sun back to the book of Joshua, back to the name Joshua. We've done quite a study on it, which you can find here on our website, yahweh.name. And you can, or you can just look for yourself in the concordance. And a lot of times they will translate that into a Hellenistic name, but it should be Joshua, or as we have studied here, Yahusha, or Yeshua from the Hebrew. But as we studied that and explained it, it's Yahusha is what the name we use here. But those who use Yeshua is free to do that. Not Iesus, Greek in Iesus, or Jesus in English, but Yeshua, or Yahusha. And some have another variation of that name, of Yahweh. What is that word? Yahusha. Ho meaning bringing, and Shah is salvation, so bringing salvation. But anyway, see our study on that. That's not the purpose of this, is to examine the name of, but to examine in our lives what Messiah is wishing to do. Now, this is a condemnation that light has come into the world, that men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in Yahweh. Another scripture says that his works are manifested, and spirit-wrought righteousness is manifested in his people. Now, after these things, in verse 22, came Messiah to his disciples into the land of Judea. He tarried with them and baptized. So the bridegroom has us, the assembly. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, that my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Not done away with, but complete. The word fulfilled means to make full or fill full. He must increase, but John says, I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. But what he has seen and heard, that he testified, that no man received his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that Yahweh is true. Yahweh has set this seal, according to Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 4 to 6. He had that seal set into his believers. He that has received his testimony has set to a seal that Yahweh is true. For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the word of Yahweh. For Yahweh giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him, the Father by measure unto the Messiah. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And finally, John said in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh abideth on him. The wrath of Yahweh abides on those that will not accept the Son, who spoke face to face with Adam, Moses, Abraham, to Paul, yes, face to face. And so he is actually the spokesman of the Tanakh and the Old Testament time there. And the Pentateuch. It says in Deuteronomy 4:4 and in Luke 4:4 that man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of Yahweh's mouth. I'll just read it to you here from Hosea chapter 6. And this has to do with the end times of when will the Messiah come back. Messiah left us in approximately after the resurrention, the year 29, but there's other interpretations or views of that date within like 3 or 4 years. So that puts us really close. If that 6,000th year, and we're just about ready to go into the 7,000th year, if that is correct, then it looks like tribulation 7 years before the return of the Messiah. So, but on that premise, of the year 2029. Let's listen to this. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. So in other words, this might mean to us that after 2,000 years, the year 29 plus 2,000 is 2029. So that might be when he will return to revive us. And he has afflicted us for 2,000 years. But in the third day, he will raise us up. So in the 3,000th year, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know Yahweh. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. We always looked to the material. It's wonderful to have the latter and the former rain to fall at a time, but we're looking for that great outpouring of the Spirit. And going along with that, and to back that up, is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For our light affliction, which we might consider here in this particular moment of time, if you live in the world, or especially in the United States, there's a lot of affliction and problems going on. The affliction, which is but for a moment, as it were, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. And then in a study we once did about the idea of the law and sin, the scriptures define what sin is in 1 John 3:4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the Torah, so transgresses the some law in the first five books of Scripture, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. And see also in chapter 5 of 1 John 5:17, these are all just one verse, usually one or two verses. 5:17 says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of Yahweh sins not, but he that is begotten of Yahweh keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And in Romans, the wages of sin is death, the rewards of heaven are eternal life, Romans 6:23. The famous quotation in Matthew 16:26, we ought to remember every moment when we're considering whether such an act is acceptable in Yahweh's sight, even though it might profit us to a great deal financially or in bringing us great pleasure. But let's consider now. In 16:26, the Messiah said, what does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? 1 John 5:2, how do we show our love to him? 1 John 5:2 says, for this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And these include the commandments that he gave person to person to Moses on the mountain. In Romans 7:6, Paul is speaking here, and he mentions this concept of the law, which in chapter 7 of Romans can be three different laws. It could be the commandments, the Ten Commandments, and the statutes and judgments. It might refer to the sacrificial Levitical temple laws. And Paul says, in that regard, we're delivered from the law, that of sin's physical death penalty, and the temporal sacrificial animal laws. So we're delivered from the death penalty if we trust in the Messiah and ask him to forgive us as we have not only forgiven others, but we have repented of these things. Romans 6:6, henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead to sin is freed from sin. And in chapter 7 again, the law is pure and the commandment is pure, just and good. We know that the law is spiritual, verse 14 and 22. I delight in the Torah, the law of Yahweh, after the inward man. So Paul here is not writing that he rejoices in the animal Levitical sacrificial temple laws, but in the law of Yahweh. For we know in Psalm 19, he says that the commandment is pure. And I would have to, I'd have to not quote off the top of my head, but actually read it here in Psalm 19. The law is perfect, converting the soul. The commandment is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart, and the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. The judgments found in Exodus 21, 22, and 23, in the 21st chapter of Exodus. The judgments that are like the statutes. And the carnal mind is enmity against the sovereign one. It is not subject to the law of the sovereign one, neither indeed can be. So the carnal mind is enmity against his law, and it's not subject. We are not those who do not surrender and submit to Yahweh. We do not submit to his law. So it says we are not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh can't please the sovereign one, Yahweh. For you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. If that's so, that the spirit of the sovereign one dwells in you, and if any man doesn't have the spirit of the Messiah, he is none of his. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the spirit, and that's not talking about a temporarily falling back into sin for a moment, of an uncontemplated sin that someone stumbles accidentally, but it's a deliberate, intentional, volitional act of disobedience and behavior that we keep repeating, that we get into a habit and we don't care about him any longer, then he can cast us off, burn those branches in the fire. He could even blot our names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die, but if through the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. As many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of the Sovereign One, Yahweh. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That was Romans 8, verse 15. Now, 2 Corinthians, we are troubled on every side. Doesn't that sound like after we hear the newscast on the radio, even Christian news, 2 Corinthians 4:17, we're troubled on every side, yet not, we're not distressed. So sometimes someone will do a sermon or a speech or something about how the world is coming and closing in on us from every side, and then they'll have one little paragraph, but then they'll say, but Yahweh has the victory. Just one little tiny paragraph that's kind of outnumbered by, you know, an hour-long speech of the trouble and tribulation around us. So the weight of evidence doesn't seem to give us much hope if we're just to only turn on the radio and listen to the news. I click on the radio, and if I hear a commercial or a song playing or somebody on there babbling about whatever, then I can be pretty much assured that things are about the same as they always were, with a few variations and updates. I listened to Prophecy Today with Jimmy DeYoung on a Sabbath on a morning channel there, and it's a continual update of the conflict in the Middle East. But it, in a way, it's like a football game. The enemy wins for a little bit, and then and then our side wins for a little bit. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So don't worry about the newscast, unless they come on the air and say that the bomb has been dropped or something. Well, we look not for the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we must seek Yahweh while he may be found. So we need to make a daily practice of going into the war room. That's into the prayer closet, where we have the prayer list up there of people we can pray for, the scriptures, and nothing to interrupt us or confuse us or to discourage us in Yahweh's prayer closet. Isaiah 55, yes, pardon me. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, or her way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our sovereign one, for he will abundantly pardon. Yahweh says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now this is in Isaiah 55. They didn't write things from the Messiah there in red, but it could have been in red. The font could have been in red, but no, it's in my scriptures it's black. But still, he is speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, or the first heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it forth bud and bloom, that it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Draws him, and I'll raise him up. I'll raise that person up at the last day. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood in this annual Passover service, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the bread and the wine. Messiah said that he is the bread of life. And we take the cup of wine, that this is my blood of the covenant, and represents him. He also said he is the door. That doesn't mean that he's a literal door, or that he's the shepherd of the sheep. It doesn't mean that he literally has some sheep out there in the heavenly pasture. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood in that annual Passover has eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. And Martha reiterates that in five chapters later. Chapter 11:24, she said unto him, I know that Lazarus shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And that discourse continues there. But right now, I'd like to look up that word salvation for you, if I can quickly find it. And we'll put this particular study away for the moment. And thank you for joining us here on YahvehYahweh.name. Well, praise Yahweh. This is Stephan Yah and our congregation here today. And we want to greet you this afternoon, this morning, evening, wherever you are around the world. Maybe in Iceland, in South Africa, India, and maybe in the Congo, perhaps in Brazil, or in that old country, America. We're going to Matthew 16:16 now, here in this scripture here, and we're going to research the word saved and some of the usages here in the word. Yahweh is, and his son is the word. He gave it to us. He gave himself through the word that he left for us. He spoke through the prophets. If you're there now, 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And that goes on with quite a number of miracle lists here. And then the next reference is in Luke 1:71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Oh boy, how about that one, huh? And when you think of the threat of those over in some far country, and they seem to be amassing in numbers and also in control and in popularity, maybe through our media, and also in their weapons. Well, take this verse out and say, hey, you guys over there, how about this? That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. And that Messiah is sent here to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his pure covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and got to turn the page, as it were, holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And then speaking at that time to the Messiah who was just born by the Virgin, here in Luke 1:71, thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of Yahweh to prepare his ways. And through the tender mercy of Yahweh, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, he is going to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet, as it were, unto the way of peace. And so so that's the end of that quote. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, was in the deserts all day, till the end of his showing unto Israel. Next reference about the word saved in chapter 7. And he said, Messiah said to the woman, "The faith, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Next chapter, 8, verse 12. "These by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of our hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." There on the rock, on this illustration Messiah was giving, on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But they have no root, which for a while they believe, but in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among them thorns are them, many. But on the good soil, those that fell symbolically on the good ground are they which are an honest and good heart, having heard the word, and they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Okay, I think we can move on now to chapter 13, perhaps. "Then said one of them, Master, are there few that be saved?" This is Luke 13. "So Messiah said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut the door, and you begin to stand outside, to knock at the door, saying, Master, Master, open unto us, and he shall open," let's see, wait a minute. Where is the rest of that verse now? "Master, Master, open unto us, and he'll say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are departed from me, all you workers of iniquity," or lawlessness. "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's Luke 13. Now, verse 28, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of Yahweh, and you yourselves thrust out. They'll come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of Yahweh. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." And from our quick verse program, I go to the scriptures in Luke 18, verse 42. Let's try 18:42 then. "Messiah said unto them, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." Verse 35 of the 23rd chapter is another reference there to salvation, that he saved others. Yes. And then we read in John 3:17, "Yahweh sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And the negative participle, might not, is may in Greek, may not be saved. In chapter 5 of Book of John, Messiah said, "I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved." He was burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light, referring to John, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Messiah said, now he's not speaking that he's a physical, literal door here, but it's just a symbolism. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal and to murder and to destroy. I am come that they might have life," Messiah said. "I am come they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep." Then we go to the Maasa, or Book of Acts, chapter 2. And it's quoted here in chapter 2, verse 21. "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved." So calling on him, you can be saved. But it's not an either-or. we just read every verse that has to do with how he is going to save us. He's going to save us by hope. He's going to save us by what is called grace in the English, or by unmerited favor more properly. And they are praising Yahweh and having favor with all the people. And Yahweh added to the assembly daily such as should be saved. In 4:12 of Acts, there is salvation in there. Neither is there salvation. Now every word is important here, so I skip the word neither, and it won't make sense. It'll mean the opposite. But it says neither is our salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, as I pointed out earlier, in the text, it says, back in the underlying Hebrew, and hopefully the Greek text, it's Yeshua and Yahusha, without the Shua on it, because there's a problem with that. However, we are not of a higher authority where we can just go around and strike anything out of the scriptures that we don't think belongs there. So, if you want to go by the literal Hebrew or the literal Greek, then you can be safe. Let's see then in chapter 11:14, what shall I tell these words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? As I began to speak, the Ruach HaKadosh fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then I remember the word of Yahweh, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Ruach HaKadosh. Forasmuch then as Yahweh gave them the same gift as he did to us, who believed on Yahusha, what was I to withstand them and withstand the Almighty Yahweh? When they heard these things, they held their peace and made great praise unto Yahweh, saying, then has Yahweh also granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. In Acts 15, I'm going to skip a few of these references, but 15, let's see. Certain men which came down from heaven, from Judea, taught the brethren and said, no, that's a whole issue I'd have to explain. They were saying that except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So that's not that is not true, is it? That even though circumcision is good and commanded, that it's not a matter of salvation, according to the greater weight of scriptures. And I hope I cover that right in just a little 30-second thing. Verse 11, but if we believe that through the grace or favor of the Master Yahusha we shall be saved, even as they. Certain men which, no, that wasn't it. I see. Okay, I want to try to back up, but I guess they won't let me back up in the scripture, so I'm going to go on to maybe chapter 16. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they read, or they said, believe on the Master Yahusha, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of Yahweh, and to all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. That's Acts 16, 30, and 31, 32. So, if you want to research that baptism, please look at our website, yahweh.name. And how about chapter 27, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appears, no small tempest. Oh, okay. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So Paul was in this, they were going to be shipwrecked in this vessel. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained the harm and loss. And so he goes on with that wonderful account there. And Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers in verse 31, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. Now let's go to another one here in Romans. Paul said in Romans 5, much more than being justified by Messiah's blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's Romans 5, 9. So remember that one. Okay. 5, 9, Romans. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we are enemies, we are reconciled to Yahweh by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So there's another account of being saved by his life. Chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in Yahweh the Savior, whom we've received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 8, verse 24, "We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." So you don't just conjure up hope. We're not just saved by a wonderful hope we have, but by hope in the Word and what it assures us of salvation. "For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Ruach HaKadosh helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which are deep to utter." And so it looks like that was the 8:24 of Romans, and it was. In chapter 9:27 of Romans, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." And then later we shall find a verse where it says, "So then all Israel shall be saved." That's all Israel that will call on his name and that will repent. And then chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Yahweh is that they might be saved," for Israel, that they might be saved. Verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" It usually doesn't come out of thin air. "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of him that preaches the good news." Then, so Israel, as a nation, will be saved someday. Not each and every Jew, a rebellious man or woman, but those who trust in Yahweh. Because it does actually say there in Romans 11, the grafted in chapter, that they are grafted in, rather, "All Israel shall be saved, that is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness or ungoodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant, when I shall take away their sins." And many other references. See if I can find one more for you. "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of Yahweh." That was Corinthians 1:18. 3:15 says, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of Yahweh, and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of Yahweh," and that includes myself, "if I defile my temple, him shall Yahweh destroy, for the temple of Yahweh is Kodesh, or pure, which temple you are. Let no man deceive you, or deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." That was in 3:15 of Corinthians. And 3:16 is, "Know you not that you are the temple of Yahweh?" Paul said, "Even as I please all men, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." And in chapter 15, "By which also you are saved, you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." In 2 Corinthians 2, "For we are unto Yahweh a sweet savor in Messiah, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto death. And who is sufficient for these things? But as of Yahweh, in the sight of Yahweh, speak we in Messiah." There, in King James, it used the common word Christ. In Ephesians, "For when we are dead in sins, he has quickened us together with the Messiah. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Messiah." And that's, we'll come to fruition someday. But right now, it's certainly a spiritual fact, but we're not physically in the presence in the throne room right now. But as it were, we are in the throne room with Messiah, and we trust in him, and we're loving him, and following his commands, statutes, and judgments, that in many ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Messiah. For by grace you are saved. Oops, through faith, there, still okay. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah to do good works, which Yahweh has before ordained that we should walk in them. And Paul also said in Thessalonians chapter 2, that is 2 Thessalonians 2:10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Looks like we might read all of these and get them all in. For we'll all have men to be saved. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one Yahweh and one mediator between Yahweh and men, the man Yahusha, who gave himself a ransom for all, or for those of you going by the text, Yeshua, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. 2:15 of Timothy, notwithstanding, she'll be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and pureness and sobriety. And let's see if I can get the preceding here. No. Okay. I thought maybe I could get 1 Timothy 2:15. Oh, 2:15. Let's see. Yes, apparently this machine here. Oh, Adam was not deceived. Okay, now it's cooperating. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness, or being separated from the pagan religions of the world, and with sobriety. So it appears then that we'll have to finish that up, because I think the study is out. I had a few more to do, but it concluded. So sometimes I might have the patience to fight with this machine here, but that's only foolishness. So thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Mighty One, for giving us the good news of salvation today, and to walk uprightly with thee, and to give us hope, for the end is coming. And whether it's in the next 10 seconds or even next 10 years, we need to be so encouraged daily. And as you said in Revelation chapter 12, that the great dragon is cast out, that old serpent, which deceives the whole world. He is cast out into the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him. And his saints, somewhere, they overcame him. There it is, the overcomers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, they loved not their lives unto death. Rejoice, you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. The earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahweh. Revelation chapter 12 to the end there. And then chapter 14. If I could go here to maybe verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead which die in Yahweh from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Upon the cloud was one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. An angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, Thrust in the sickle, and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap. The harvest of the earth is ripe. Maybe that could be the theme here. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of Yahweh. The winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even under the horse bridle. The horse's bridle. No, it says the horse bridles, plural, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And then we zip up to the end here, chapters 21 and 22. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, that's John, the Revelator, saw the pure city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their sovereign one. Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, or crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are all passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. That's chapter 21. 22 says, He showed me, I'm just reading the first part, verse or two. You could look up the rest, but we've run out of time. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. In the midst of the city, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no more night. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for Yahweh gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And the last few words here picks up with the beginning theme, that every word that proceeds out of his mouth is important. In 22, verse 16, and he said in verse 15, Without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers and idolaters, whosoever loves and makes a lie, I, Messiah, have sent my angel. So John is quoting the Messiah, to testify unto you to the assemblies, I am the Alpha, or the Aleph rather, and the Tav, in Hebrew, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and him that hears says, Come, and let him that is athirst says, Come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy, if any man shall add to these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So these extraneous prophecies that add to the word, that are not in any way from anything, if a prophecy were to come to us and say something like this, keep up the good work and have a nice day, it would probably not be from Yahweh. Although it could be, if you're, say, in a you know, terrible ruin in a concentration camp, keep up your faith and have a nice day. Try to look up. Maybe it won't be long, you know, and you'll be released. You'll have liberty. But to the most of us who are in this leisure country or this leisure world, he's not going to just tell us, just continue as things are. He's going to tell us what needs to be changed in our lives and how to grow. And Yahweh will not allow us, though, to add to his word. And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy anything, Yahweh shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the pure city, for and from the things which are written in his book, he shall testify these things and says, Surely I come quickly. Maranatha, come quickly. Praise Yahweh.